Bicycle Hummel. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Bicycle Hummel. He was from the biggest chassidim of the Baal HaTanya, Bicycle Hummel. So by Bicycle Hummel, he was a huge goyin, a kaddish. And a bicycle, he lived in a terrible little like hut. And there was always in front of his hut, there was always a puddle with mud. Right outside, when you walk outside, it was always mud. Even if it didn't rain for like a month. It was a little bit of and somebody once asked him, a bicycle, how is it that you always have, feel like, you know? You can't say it's poor drainage. There was no drainage. So it says in the Medrash that Hashem Yisbach showed Adam Rishon Dor Dor V'Doshev, Sefer Meshav Benim also, he showed him all future generations. Dor Dor V'Manhigim, he showed him the rebellion, the teachers, the leaders of future generations. So when Adam Rishon looked over each of the generations, he saw Shmuel HaNavi, Dor Amal, and he kept on going, he looked over every generation, and then finally came to Isaac al-Hamel, that I'm the Rav of Hamel, and he said, he's also a manik. He gave a spit. He says, that's the puddle in front of my house. Sometimes you feel like you're mamish in that mud puddle. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to talk to you a little bit about how we're not, and we have to think, and we have to remember that we're not. The Torah brings down a tough kuf pei beis, a very remarkable thing, and it's something that could just slip by you because there's so much stuff going on this time of the year. There's so much stuff, you can miss this. I'm sure some of you have seen this in the Shulchan Torah. It's in the Torah that during this entire time of Rosh Yom Kippur, our tefillas are with the word uvechein. Nachon? Uvechein tein pachtecha, uvechein tzadikim, uvechein tein kovad Hashem le'atzacha. Everything's with the word uvechein. Uvechein. So the Torah brings that the makor of this is from Esther HaMalka. Because by Esther HaMalka, it says in Pasuk, Uvechein ovo el hamelech ashaloi kados. Because Esther HaMalka said, Uvechein ovo el hamelech, and so it will be. And I had to translate the word Uvechein. And so it will be. Uvechein ovo el hamelech ashaloi kados. So from there, that Esther HaMalka, you know, was not officially allowed to just walk into the king. You don't just walk into the king. It's a chutzpah to walk into the king. And you know that HaMelech in the Megillah is a hint to Melech Malchei and Blachim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Esther HaMalka was risking her life, Kasha Avadati Avadati, she said. She was risking her life by going to the king without being invited. And the Torah says that from Esther HaMalka saying, from Esther HaMalka, uvechein ovo al hamelech ha-shaloka does, that's where we take, that's why our davening of Rosh Yom Kippur is all with the word uvechein. Because obviously it means that on some level, each and every one of us feels that way. Should think about that, that we're approaching the king, uvechein ovo el hamelech, uvechein ovo el hamelech asher lo kados, that my approaching the king, my coming closer to the king, my entering into the inner chamber of the king, Rosh Hashanah and so on, looks very much like an act that is illegal. It looks like it's asher lo kados. There's not one of us here, nobody here feels that we are invited in. None of us feels that we have the right, use the word invited, that we have the right to just walk into HaMelech, to Melech Malchei Melachim. Every single one of you, myself, all of us, we feel that there are things that have happened, things that we've thought about, things that we've said, things that we've done, that would not qualify us to be able to enter into that place that's called HaMelech. There's a halacha you know of, that Bezdin gives a person a certain period of time, that once the Bezdin has decided that Reuven owes money to Shimon, the Bezdin gives a person 30 days. That if he can't pay right away, so there's an extension that he has, a 30-day period of time, to be able to gather together what he needs in order to be able to pay back what he owes. So the Sfarim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us at the end of the year this month, that Elul is a 30-day extension, that Hashem Yisrael gives us a certain period of time to gather together our thoughts, our feelings, our mitzvahs, our ma'as and tovim, our decisions, our longings, our dreams of becoming better, and with some serious practical hachlotas, steps to take that we can change, in order that we should be able to feel, if it's even though it's a shaloi kedos, to feel that we have some right, a little bit of something with which we could approach the king and speak to him about what we want to speak to him about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Sfarim all talk about different things that one should try to concentrate on during this time of the year. It's a lot in the Musa Sfarim. Each person thinks, and there's so many things I'm not good at, it's hard to pick something. And the Sfarim talk about particular mitzvahs. See, it's an Indian, Badavka, Tshuva, Tvila, Tzedakah. There are certain things that are like powerful weapons, powerful schusim. But if during the whole year, your entire mitzias was a mitzias of ashaloi kadosh, that you were like not welcomed into the palace, there are certain ways like to get a pass, certain things that we could do and think of and daven for during this period of extension, the 30-day extension where we try to gather together some schusim. It's not a game. We're not bribing the king. We're trying to show what we believe in, what we know is right. So there are certain things that we try to work on and somehow to get like a pass to be able to come into the king. And once we're in the king, then we just throw ourselves at his feet and we cry and we beg and we try whatever we can. But to get in. We don't know exactly. Again, we have Kabbalah from Chazal. The Rambam says in the Cheshuva that when it comes to these things, Ein Shoiklin Ela B'Daita Shel Keldeus, we don't know what one mitzvah is worth. You could see a person, we have many stories from Tzaddikim or even from not Tzaddikim, that there was a person who was mamish and nobody, was nobody, nothing, but he did something. He was Maisa Nefesh. He did some great thing to help somebody. He did something. And with that, he was able to be Kona Olam Haba. I mean, there are many stories like that. And that's what the Rambam is telling us, that we don't really know. Ein shoyklin ela b'daita shel keldeis. Hashem has his own way of weighing and of measuring what's big, what's really big. Hashem has his own way. And a lot of things that we think are that we might think are the biggest things, by Hashem it could be it's not the biggest thing. And there are other things that we think is a kleinikai, it's a small thing. And Chazal say about Boaz and about Reuven, but not going into the Midrashim, there are things that there were tzaddikim that did things in Tanakh when Reuven went to try to see if he could help Yosef at Tzaddik, or when Boaz was kind to a poor Gioris. Boaz didn't think, wow, this is going to be great. One day they're going to write this Megillah. They're going to write a Megillah and I'm going to be like the main star of the Megillah. He didn't think about that. He just, like, he didn't know that anybody would think about it. It was something that he thought was no big deal, but in Hashem's eyes, it was a real big deal. It was a very big deal. So when the Rambam says that the Hanhog of Hashem is that Ein Shoiklin Ela B'Daita Shel Keldeus. Listen, there was Ein Shoiklin Ela B'Daita Shel Keldeus. Even though Chazal and the Tzaddikim, the Bali Musar, they gave us certain things. They told us this is big. It's true, and we believe in all of these things. But at the end of the day, Ein Shoiklin, we don't know. Hashem has his own way of measuring like what's something which is really, really big, and what's something that was really powerful, that could take a person that feels like Esther Malka, you know how disgusting Esther Malka felt? To take a person who feels like that, who himself is like an Esther Malka, and uvechein oval malcha shalayka does, kasher avadati, that I don't know, I'm going to die, I might die. But I'm coming shalayka does. Uvechein, there's a Gemara in Pesachim that I think it's important for you and I to go over a little bit before Yontif. It's a very important Gemara, Kuf Yud Gimel. What does it mean in Lashon HaKodesh? What does the word mean, Lahachriz? You all learned about Metziah? Elechayv Lahachriz. What does it mean, Lahachriz? No? What does the word mean in Hebrew? Lahachriz.
Announce.
To announce. To proclaim. To announce, to proclaim, to call out. Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. To call out, to proclaim. So, the Gemara in Pesachim says that there are three kinds of Jews. Three kinds of Jews. And let's try to see whether you and I can slip into one of these three, all three, or two of the three. Well, there are three types of Jews, the Gemara says. Shloisha Shekadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Aleihem B'chol Yoyim. There are three types of Jews. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Machriz Aleihem B'chol Yoyim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu himself makes an announcement, a big announcement about these three Jews. Shloisha Shekadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Aleihem B'chol Yoyim. What does it mean, Machriz Aleihem B'chol Yoyim? What does he announce? So the Mashor brings down over there that the achraza is that if there are any mekatrigim, if there's any koach out there that wants to be mekatrig to hurt this Jew, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he's Zahar Rubai. Hashem tells the Malach, listen to this, Hashem says to the Malachim, he's one of my guys, don't go near him. Should we find out what this is? It's a good thing, no? You hear this? Kadosh Baruch Hu's machvaz aleihem. The Mashar brings down and explains that there are three types of Jews that B'chol Yom Hashem announces to the Malachim. That's what it means he's announcing. He announces to the Malachim that if any of you have any idea of hurting this guy, of messing with this guy, don't go near him. His Zaharu boy, he's one of mine. He's one of my guys. So, how do you become one of Hashem's guys? The word Machriz, Mestame, is connected to the word Merkaz. Merkaz means that there are three kinds of Jews who seem from here to stand at the center of God's attention. He's machriz because it's omeid b'merkaz. In other words, Hashem Baruch is machriz, and he's saying that there are three kinds of Jews. Let's see if we could find ourselves in any of them that will give us the koch to come to the king. There are three kinds of Jews. Hashem Baruch says they might not look so great, and you know, He might not know much of Shas, but there are three kinds of Jews that Hashem is machriz aleihem b'chol yom, and tells the Malachim, these Jews you should know they're mamish, they're at the center of my heart. I love them. I love them. They have tremendous chen by me. The whole inyan now is to try to find chen in Hashem's eyes. That we should be bachent in Hashem's eyes. That's a big inyan. And Hashem Baruch announces every day in Shemaim that there are three types of Jews, that these Jews stand at the center of my heart. And he tells the Malachim, Hizharu bo, al tigu b'mashichai. Don't touch this guy. He's one of my guys. So does this mean somebody who bought himself tcheles for his sitzes? Does it mean someone who has only chal v'yisrael? What does it mean? Who are these guys? And Bechlal, the whole lashon of that he's machriz aleihem b'chol yom. No, you have a certain on the news every day, which Bechlal, it's not so good to listen to. There's a lot of depressing things. But the way the news works is that they usually say, "And today's top story," right? So there's a lot of kleinigkeit because they have to. It's like when nothing big happens in the world that day. So then they talk like about the weather for a few hours and stuff like that, right? Because they have to have something which is a top story. Today's top story. In other words, what's the top story? So usually it's this journalist or this newscaster when it's something like really 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 chashuv. So then it could be that the president of the United States like gets onto all the televisions and gets onto all the stations to make an announcement, like when Bin Laden, Yimach Shemai, when Bin Laden was killed. So the president took a little bit of time off from one of his golf games or something, and he actually went onto the whole country, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, of course he made it into whole Indian of Gaiva, because he's a shtick Gaiva, and he says, like, Ki'ilu, he was the one that went and shot him down, and Bin Laden is taken care of, he's done. But that already, you don't have some guy from ABC, there's no anchor lady or anchor guy, right? That's a top story. That's a chosh of a thing. For that, you don't have some anchorman. For that, you have the president himself gets on, he becomes like a broadcaster, and he says, I have some news for you. So there's such a Jew that Hashem is machvis alav b'chol yoyim. Like Hashem in Shemaim, malachim yechafezim, right? Chiler ozi yechazim. Then millions, trillions, countless malachim. Everybody's tumbling all over in Shemaim, especially before Hashem gives a big tumult, making hachanis in Hashem. But it's busy in Shemaim, and what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything stops, and they announce that Hashem has a special news, like a bulletin, special report, top story of the day. And what's that? These three Jews. That's what the Gemara is saying. Beryl, Shmeryl, Yankel, whatever, because of what they are, we'll talk about in a second. Kadosh Baruch Hu is machus alem b'chol yoyim. Now, when we have big news, it's because of what Hashem is doing in the world. Like, so if there's a tidal wave, chas shalom, a tsunami, so then there's a big broadcast, because Hashem did something from Shemayim, and it's a big, that's something which is new down here in this world, so they are chadashot. Chadashot means news, and we get all excited, and we talk about it. But these three Jews that we're talking, the Gemara is talking about Pesachim, means that, what's Hashem this spell from in Shemayim? In Shemayim, they know all this stuff about tsunamis. They know all that before. So in Shemayim, the big news is when something unexpected, when there's some chadashot that come in from this world. Now, if somebody tells you on the news, I remember there was a comedian when we were young, he was a big mushkos, he died. I remember he had a whole routine, like imitating weather broadcast. He said, tonight it will be getting increasingly dark until the morning. That was his weather broadcast. That's not such big news, you understand. Usually it gets increasingly dark until the morning. If someone has something to say, like there's a blizzard coming, and there's going to be, you know, schools are going to close, and it's 18 inches of snow. That's already chadashot, that's something new. So people in this fall from something new. From chadashot. People in this fall from chadashot. So in this world, we're in this fall from things that Hashem does, because it's chadash, something new. And in the higher world, kivyochel Hashem, the malachim, in this fall, we're in the chadashot that come from this world, you understand? When there's something new that we do. And that's what I think is the chiddush of these three guys. You want to hear who the three guys are? You don't have to raise your hand if you're one of them. But these are the three guys. Here we go. Number one. Al Ravak Hagar Bekrach Ve'eno Choyte. Who knows what the word Ravak means? A single guy. An unmarried guy. Al Ravak Hagar Bekrach. A single guy that lives in town. In the city. Ve'enu chayte pashtus says he doesn't go after, God forbid, gilei ra'ayis. A single guy that he's surrounded by attractive women. He lives in the krach. He's not living on a farm with the behemoths. He's living in the krach in town, and he's surrounded by attractive women, and he's a single guy. Ravak hagar bekrach ve'enu chayte. And he holds himself back. That's the first guy. Don't raise your hand. Krach ve'enachayte. Ravak hagar bekrach ve'enachayte. Single guy, lives in the big city, and he somehow is able to manage. He doesn't fall in. That's the first guy. The second guy. Al oni hamachzir aveda leba'aleha. Al-oni ha-machzer aveda le-ba'aleh, a poor person who returns a lost object. He's this poor guy, has nothing, can't make a living. He's a schlepper. He has children who are hungry. His wife is angry with him. He doesn't make a good living. He finds something. It's a big, big, big taiva not to keep it. He doesn't keep it. He's machzer aveda, al-oni ha-machzer aveda le-ba'aleh. He gives back the lost object, even though it's a big taiva. It's a big taiva. For him to keep the lost object, he doesn't. He gives it back. Imagine this guy is about to be misyayish. He hasn't worked in a year. His kids don't have what to eat. His wife is going to leave him. And he finds something. And everything inside of him is telling him, you could use this. And he gives it back to the owner. That's the second guy. The third guy, Chazal say, is al osher hamaase peroisav bitzina. Osher hamaase peroisav bitzina. is a rich guy, and he has a lot of trumas and ma'asis, right? But he's ma'aseh peroisov. He takes care of his tzedakah in yonim. We'll talk. It's ma'aseh tzedakah. He takes care of his tzedakah things bitzina, in a very private way. He's not up in lights. He doesn't put himself up in lights. He doesn't get himself to the papers with the announcements. He gives a lot, this usher, but quiet, bitzina. So the Gemara says about these three individuals that Kadosh Baruch Hu is machviz aleihem b'chol yom. Whatever that hachraza means that we spoke about before. Okay, these are the three guys. A single guy in the big town, ve'ein chayte, holds himself back. The poor person that returns a lost object, and the rich guy that he carries out his tzedakah things in a very, very tznizdik way, very hidden. So there's a big question you could ask. The Bala Musa asked this question. I think Rabbi Chaskel talks about it, I don't remember. But the Bala Musa asked this question. Meila, we understand the rich guy that he gives the tzedakah in a very hidden and private way, that we understand, because Alpidin, he's not chayiv to do that. He's not chayiv to give it bitzina. There's a tshuva from the Rashba. The Rashba writes, Mefarsim and Oise Mitzvah. The Rashba says it's important that when you're giving tzedakah, when you're doing mitzvahs, you see that all the shuls have dedications. Every classroom has dedications. You know, you go to certain yeshivas and so they have outside the Vesakise, they have dedications. Because Mefarsim and Oise Mitzvah, first of all, the yeshiva has a responsibility to market toiv. And the rich person, it's important for him to, in certain ways, the Rashba explains, to publicize what he's doing. Why? Why would that be good? Because maybe that'll encourage other people to, right? So you make an appeal in shul. So this guy says $1,000, $500. It's mechazik other people that if he could do it, I could do it, and so on. So there isn't any in the Rashba writes about being mefas and vice versa. So Alpi Din, according to Halacha, a rich guy, there's no problem for a rich guy for kid. The Rashba says it's a good thing. There's no problem for a rich guy to report how much money he's given, how much ma'aser he's taken off. There's no problem. So that we could understand. This guy's not chayv al pi din to do this, the rich guy to do this. He's not chayv to give tzedakah secretly. He could do it publicly. And af al pi chayn, he goes and he does it in such a beautiful tzniyazdik way. So you could understand that such a thing is newsworthy in Shemayim. It's a chosh of a thing. It's a chosh of a thing. Why? Because this person, you could say, he went, you know, lift the mishur zedin. He did something he didn't have to do. So that's a chiddush, right? When you do something you don't have to do, so that luchari, that's a big chiddush. And chiddush, if it's a chiddush in Shemaim, it makes the news in Shemaim. And Hashem said, hey, did you see this guy? This guy didn't have to do this. He didn't have to hide his kind deeds, his good deeds. And he hid them. So that sounds like something that is newsworthy to make the headlines in Shemaim. For a special report, this rich guy, look how he does things. Imamish, nobody knows what he's doing. Nobody knows. Like the story, you know, the Shlomo Kabbalah used to tell about the Yossel, the holy miser from Krakow. Ever since that story, everybody who goes to Krakow spends the whole day trying to find this kever, right? He's supposed to be buried near the Megala Mukas. I didn't see the. I was there. I didn't see. But there's a famous story like that. You know that it was a rich guy, and he was doing for so many people in a way that they didn't know. So when he died, then all the poor people, they never knew all their, they had all these things. They would find money by their door, and they would find food. And this guy was like the guy in town that everybody hated him. They called him the miser. He was the cheapest guy because he was giving all the tzedakah in a hidden way. So when he died, then they realized that, oh, that's him. Okay, so you could understand that such a thing that would make news in Shemayim. But the question is, when it comes to the Ravak Bekrach, Ravak Hagar Bekrach Ve'enachayte. So you have a single guy, he lives in the city, and he doesn't run off to do an aveira with a woman. He's not allowed to do an aveira with a woman. I mean, we're talking about the Raisas, Drabonins, Kores, you know, it's serious stuff. And as far as the poor person who's machzir the aveda, the poor person who returns the aveda, even if you have a short memory, even if you don't have a good memory, you remember the mitzvah Shavas aveda. We just had in the chumash this past Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah Shavas aveda. Visalamta. You're not allowed to turn away. This belongs to somebody else. You have to give it back. So it's a mitzvah from the Torah. So the question is, why is it? We could understand the rich guy that does his ma'isim tovim secretly, that it's a chiddush and shamayim. But why is it that the ravach hagar bekrach v'nechayte the oni amachze aved lebala? Why is it that these two people are making the headlines in Shemaim, Akadekach, the Keshbaruch, who is Machvis B'chal Yoim, and he tells the Malachim, stay away from this guy. This is one of my guys, don't touch him. He's untouchable. He gets into the Hamelach, he has a pass. I signed off on this guy, he comes into me. So I don't think I have to explain it to you, but I'll just say a little bit, very briefly, and I'll tell you a story or two. That's all. But I want you to have a certain way of thinking in order that you and I, when I say you, I mean all of us, myself and your Rebbe, all of us, that we should feel that we have the right to come into the King. Because otherwise you could stand your whole life outside. Your whole life in the Chatzah, like Rebbe Leibler talks about that, by the binyan of the Mishkan. You could stand your whole life, because there Moshe, when he was afraid to walk in, Hashem had to vayikra al Moshe. Yeah, you could stand your whole life outside. It's the worst thing to be an outsider. To be an outsider. That everything you hear about in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, everything you read in the Machzor, you always feel like it's talking about somebody else, or it's talking to somebody else, but it's not about me. But you hear beautiful Torahs about Kirvus Elokim, closest to Hashem, and it's Iris, but it's never about you, it's always about somebody else. As far as you're concerned, Eich Ova HaMelech, Vanila Nikraisi. Shleisham Yon, Master Amalka was not invited. 30 days, that's the extension period. Eich Ova HaMelech, how dare I even think that I'm a person that's worthy of coming to the King? So let's go very, very quickly. Obviously, what the Gemara is telling us is this. The biggest chiddush in Shemayim, the biggest chiddush in Shemayim, we'll get to the rich guy if we have time at the end, but the biggest chiddush in Shemayim, that which Hashem Yisbaruch values and most and stands at the center, remember, Machriz is Merkaz, it stands at the center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention. Is when a person, according to his madrega, the family that he came from, the way that he was raised, in the year, the time of history that he was living, when that person is oimed b'nisayon and is mezgal, when that person is able to hold back, that's clear. He's being ripped to pieces. He's being pulled. This ravak hagar bekrach. That's each and every one of you. You're all single guys who live in the krach. When the ravak hagar bekrach ve'ena chayte. Let me explain ve'ena chayte, because you're all thinking, oh, so thanks a lot. It says ve'ena chayte. So this past June we had the schus to be a couple of chavrim from shul. Shmuel Tzvi was also with us there. Rabbi Abnasim Breslov, it was zeichet to be. And I mentioned over there, I think it was by Abnasim, or maybe it was by the Baal Shem, I think it was by Abnasim I mentioned this. Because it was that time at that parasha. That by the Saita, right, the woman is suspected of committing adultery. Sof, they were Ede Yichud, you know. We're not talking here about Sarah Shneer. You understand. There were Edom that told the husband said in front of Edom, she already has like an inyu with this guy. She's flirting, you know, the husband sees this. She has something with this guy. And the husband says in front of Edom, you better not go alone with this guy. Right? And there were Edom that she was alone with the guy. Okay? So she says, I didn't do anything. So let me give her the test of the Sota, right? So she survives. And the Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, V'niksa, that if she's clean, even if she never had kids, she'll have kids. If she only had girls, she'll have boys also. The Torah gives all kinds of promises. So the Imre Emes Chusiglaino, the gay Rebbe asked, like, what kind of a tzedekis is this? She gets all kinds of promises. All the nice girls from Beis Yaakov are waiting in line to get these promises. This girl, this woman, she was told, don't you dare go in front of Aiden. Don't go alone with this guy. She goes alone with the guy. Akidekach, that the husband is convinced that they'd had a ma'isa, right? The husband is convinced that they had a ma'isa. And she's tested with the water, and turns out that she didn't do that. Okay, she didn't actually do that, but she did something really bad. She's not clean. And the Torah says, v'niksa. So the Imam says, gevalde gevar. The Imam says, listen to this, this is a life-saving var from the Imam. The Imam says, could you imagine what it must have been like for her? She's already meshuggah with this guy. Akadekach, that she went against everything that the husband and with the Edom and with everything. And she went in with this guy. And it was at the heat of that moment of passion that she's finally alone with her beloved. And ve'veis, what's going to happen? And this guy is talking to her. And could be things are starting, right? Things are starting. I don't want to get graphic. And things are beginning with this guy starting to get into a bad place. And then she gives a shri. She says, Shema Yisrael Shemekam Shemachad. And she doesn't do the ma'isa. Maybe she did something else with him, but she didn't do the ma'isa. So the Imam says, the Baruch Hashem looks at such a person, at such a woman, and says, you want a mine. Now she feels, I'm the lowest, most disgusting person in the world. I can never, ever, ever, ever go into the King of all kings. She wouldn't want to go to shul, Rosh Hashanah. I'll tell you a story from Baditchka in a second. She wouldn't want to go to shul. She wouldn't want to go to shul. And Hashem says, Machvis Aleha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to all the Malachim, Chazu, Chazu, Bonai, Bonai, Demishtachim Etzav Lahon, Vasim Chedav Shadili, do you see that I created such a tzedekis in this world, that she's, where she comes from, the way she grew up, you know, she was a cheerleader in the high school varsity or something like that, and where she comes from, Ve'veis, whatever her Indian is, she ended up with this guy, and her husband already made their aid them like this, aid them like that, and last moment, she says, I'm not going to do it, today I'm not going to go to that website, today I'm going to turn it off, today, just today, I don't know about tomorrow, but and you know what, even if he's on the website, he doesn't go to the next thing, and he stops over there, because he says, I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew. And such a person, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is machris elav b'chol yoyim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is machris in Shemayim about such a yid that it makes the biggest news in Shemayim. Our generation, you and I are the biggest newsmakers. The fact that you're sitting here and it's 90 degrees outside, and you're sitting here and you're learning Torah today, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is machris elena b'chol yoyim mamish. My father said that when they were in Europe before the war, they sat and they learned all day. But he said the truth is we had nothing else to do. There was nothing to do. He said, and any possibility of getting out of the misery of the shtetl, the only possibility was maybe you could come a rav or a dayan or something. So he thought maybe some of us that like to learn, we would sit and learn. But he said, what were we going to do? What were our options? You think we had some like guidance counselor telling us, you know, if you want, you could be going to accounting or computers. No, if you want, you could be a rav, you could be a dayan, or you could try to go into your father's business. Your father was usually poor, and he worked 20 hours a day, and he didn't have any money. Or you can just hang around to the next pogrom, you know. But what was there to do? What was there to do? What was there to be? So my father said he can't believe, he's so nispol when he sees that guys here in America, like they actually want to go to yeshiva. He said, the second that we were taken away by the Hungarians, and then afterwards they went to the concentration camp, first we were taken away by the Hungarians, he said, two-thirds of the chevra, they didn't open up a sefer again. Not only that, two-thirds of the chevra took out tarfis. My father said when they were on the train, they were being taken away from his hometown. They were being taken away by the Hungarians to go to forced labor. On the train, he said, when they stopped in the town, there were guys that with beards and payas, bachim, friends of his with long payas, that they were already going to Zionists. I don't want to, it's terrible. They were going to girls. They were free from their father and their mother. On the train out of town, he said, the day before, they were making a siyum on Shas, you understand? And the next day, the guy with the payas is going. Because my father said, the whole thing was we had no other way to live. That's how we were. That's what we lived in. We lived in that. That's what we were raised. There was no place out. We had those Dalit Amas. But when they discovered there was a world outside, a lot of them fell to pieces. And you had to hold on very strong. So this person, Ravak Hagar Bekrach, Fe'ena Chayte, it doesn't mean that he's pure. Ena Chayte. Which one of us could say Ena Chayte? But in his Madrega, who he is, he tries to hold back. Machrizim alav b'chol yoyim. The poor guy, we don't have time, so I'll go with each one of these, we could spend time. The poor guy, you know, let's translate it to modern terms. You're a guy, you have a job in some firm, you're making like, you know, a starting salary. Your wife, you're already married for 6 months. She feels at this point of all that I've gone through, 6 months, we've been married, I feel I deserve to have my own house in Great Neck or something. We've been married for 6 months. So I deserve a house in Great Neck. So preferably be with a pool and tennis court. And Great Neck is a little bit fishlop, it's King's Point. You know, not that Great Neck is already not so chashiv, King's Point, or something like that, or the equivalent of wherever you are, something very, very chashiv. So this guy, this Ani, gets a starting salary, he's making $45,000, he's not even sure of that, he didn't tell his wife that the boss is not too crazy about him. You know, he doesn't even know if he's going to have this job in a month from now. She's talking about, my two sisters already have homes. You know, he has a big yetzara. He hasn't paid tuition. It's busy on his. He has to go in front of the board. He sits in front of five people, and they tell him, "How come you can't pay the tuition? We found out that you know you drive a car. Why shouldn't you pay the tuition? We found out that you have supper every night. Why can't you pay tuition?" So he's feeling all kinds of busy on his, and he finds something. He finds an aveda. It could be something in the book, in the computer, something that he could do with at work, something with a client to shave off a little bit, 5%, 10%. And he holds back, and no one's watching, no one's going to find out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this guy is one of my guys. Machriz Nalav B'chol Yom, this is one of my guys. Do you see him? Hashem says to him. So the Malachim is saying, the Malachim are very frum, right? So the Malachim is saying, it says in Pasuk, Hashem says, you have to give back an Aveda. What do you mean? Well, this guy's such a big knaka? He's only doing what the Torah says. And that bachelor, the single guy in the city, what are you making a whole big thing about him? That's a chiddush. He's not allowed to do an aveira. The Raisins, the Rabbanans, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam. So what are you making a big deal about this guy? He's only doing what it says in the Torah. So then we come back to the Rambam. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is shoykel. Only kel deyas. Only the one who knows how to weigh what it means an aveira, what it means a mitzvah. How hard it is for this guy to hold back. For that saita, how hard it is for her to hold back a little bit. For her not to go to that next level. To stop over there when she's mamish in such a taiva, to stop? For the poor guy that he could have done this and he could have made a little bit of a game with the books, look what a taiva is for rich people. Look what a taiva is for the Indian of Mammon is. The rich guy, not the rich guy that gives the tzedakah quietly, because it's a big covet, it's a big covet. We're talking about taiva and covet. Covet is a big, big, big thing to have covet. And he gives in such a way. There's a bacha here in the yeshiva. A bacher in the yeshiva told me last week, because this bacher has a hard life. He doesn't have support with mishpacha. He has a hard life. And this bacher told me there's a yid, a gvir, you wouldn't know in a million years. He's like some sort of a fleshy kind of a person. And this gvir, I know who he is. This bacher told me this gvir took him to the store. He took him someplace. He took him to the store. And he said, you're already old enough to start going out on dates. And he bought him for $2,500, a couple of suits and shoes, and put them together. And still, I happen to know, because I work with this bacher, because I know that this person in the past has helped him. Didn't put it into any book. It's not written anywhere. No one knows. It's not. Just went and took it. Himself, he went and took the bacher to buy him some clothing. I want you to look nice. You're going out. I want you to look nice. I don't want you to look like a shlum. He's not related to him at all. Our whole world is about noise, is about publicity, is about posting. Everybody's posting everything. Everybody's posting. The mother changed her diaper. She wants all of her friends and relatives, all the aunties have to know, I changed the fourth diaper today. And she has to post it with a picture of Yankel lying there. She has to post it that everybody has to know what a mother I am. I changed the kid's diaper. I'm such a gewaldige mother. I changed the kid's diaper. Everything now is about posting. Everything now is about making yourself known to others. So even this rich person, such an inyan, listen, I have another like 5 minutes. Because I know there's a zman here. I don't know what exactly the zman is. What's now? There's a seder, chavusa. Another 5-10 minutes. Which mice are the 10 mice? I told you, I'll tell you from the B'ditcheva. So it's especially need to say the B'ditcheva now this time of the year. It's always to learn Kedushas Levi and to say stories from Levi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha, but especially this time of the year, it's very big because Hashem hears the name. But even if Hashem's like in a bad mood, when he hears Levi Yisrael Sasha, Hashem says, "Oh, it's like." Then it puts Hashem into a good mood. So we want Hashem to be in the best mood, kivyachol. So there was a ma'aser b'ditcheva. You know that he was going to shul. He was in shul Kol Nidre. There are a few stories like this with the b'ditcheva. That it took him until he would say Kol Nidre. It took him a while. Some like by Nila also. So by Kol Nidre, everybody was waiting from the start. And the Bidichva was standing there, and it was already this man. So everybody was getting nervous, what's going on? And the Bidichva, they saw that he wasn't finding an opening, because they knew that when he was excited, it meant that it was going to be good. And they saw that it wasn't good, because he nothing was happening. And then he threw off his talus before Kol Nidre, and he left shul. So everybody was really, really upset. They didn't know what was going on. Around a half hour later, he came back. He came back, and he put his talus on, and he took out from his coat a bunch of hair. Hair. Blonde hair. Long blonde hair. A woman's long blonde hair. And he plops it onto the bima, and he just says, "No. What do you say about this?" And everybody was just, "What? This was." But this did a lot of strange things, but this is tops. And everybody's just looking, and the Bidichva is waiting. And his eyes are closed, and then he says, "Kol Nidre, it's time for Kol Nidre." And he was very happy, very excited. What was this hair? The Bidichva left the shul because he was looking for some schus for Yisrael. He was looking for schusim. He felt that something was closed. He needed something big. He needed to make news in Shemayim. Instead, he wanted to send up a big bulletin that the Jewish people are special. He needed some big news bulletin because everything was closed, and he needed a chiddush. He wanted to shut the mouths of the malach and the makatrigim. He needed something big. So the Bidichva, afterwards we found out how the maisa happened, but the Bidichva told afterwards. After Yom Kippur, he told what happened. The Bidichva was going, and all the Jews in Bidichva were in shul. And he's walking, he doesn't know what to do, and he's walking. And he hears crying. And it's a Jewish area. Everybody's Jews over there. And he hears crying. And he looks and he sees that there's, in the window, in this thing, like on the porch, in the window, there's a woman sitting there. And she's crying. And the Bidichva goes over and she jumps up and she says, "Rebbe, why isn't the Rebbe in shul?" The Rebbe says, I wanted to talk to you. Why are you crying? Why aren't you in shul? It's Kol Nidre. What are you doing here?" She says, "I can't go into shul." So the Bidichva says, "What do you mean you can't go to shul? Everybody's in shul. Hashem's waiting for you. It's Kol Nidre." She says, "He's not waiting for me. I can't go." So Kedushas Levi says, "What is it with you? Why are you crying? What are you sad? Do you have children? You need me to watch the children?" She says, "No, I don't. I'm not married. And I'm not going to get married." He says, "What are you talking about?" So this is what she says. She said, "My parents were killed. There's me and my brother. My parents were killed in a pogrom when we were little. And the two of us have taken care of each other, my brother and I. We work for many years, since we were little kids, we work by the pirates, by this landowner, by a rich guy, by the landowner. Very backbreaking hard work, me and my brother, that's what we do. And we get to eat, chulu." I was already 16, 17 years old. The son of the pirates took a liking to me. She must have been a very, very beautiful girl. And the son of the pirates became a sugar for me. And he used to come over to me. When I would walk somewhere, he would come over to me to try to start up with me. And I didn't let him near me. I never let him near me. And then it happened once that he came and he said to me, "We don't have to be together. But I want, at least let me touch your hair." She said, "I had very, very long, beautiful blonde hair. At least just let me touch your hair." That's what the pirate's son said. "At least let me touch your hair." And she understood that from that he meant that if you don't let me, this already means a chesed, just to touch the hair. And if you don't let me, that I'm gonna make your life bad. No, it's gonna be bad for you. And she had in that split second, she said, I didn't know what to do because all my brother and I have is this place. And I was hesitating, and I saw him reach over, and I closed my eyes and I let him touch my hair. I didn't pull away. It was after 2 years of him coming after me. And then she's crying and crying and crying. And she said, Heiliger Rebbe, how could a person like me step into shul? I let that mushkas touch me. How could I even step into shul? And the Badisha says, so why aren't you married? She says, I never, it's only me and my brother, but my brother wanted to make shaduchim for me, but I never went out with anybody because who could marry a person like me? I'm a nevela, that I let a guy touch my hair. So I don't go out with anybody. And the Badisha says, how old are you? She says, I'm already 26, 27. Old. For those times, very old. The Badisha said, listen to me. I'm going to come back. We're going to have a conversation. I don't have time right now for a conversation. What did you do with the hair? Plus, oh, so I didn't finish. So he said, so why are you wearing a tichel? I forgot. Why are you wearing a tichel? You know what a tichel is. Why are you wearing a shmat on your head? Why is your head covered? You're not married. So she said, after he touched my hair, the guy, I shaved my head. I was so disgusted with myself. I shaved off all my hair, as she said. So the Vidichva says, look, I don't have time to talk to you anymore right now. We'll talk. Did you by any chance save that hair? She says, yeah. Badisha says, please, I'm telling you that the whole Jewish people need that hair. And she gave the Badisha for the hair, and then that's when he came to the Beis HaMedrash. He plopped it onto the beam, and he says, Chazu, Chazu Hashem, give a kick, look at this. What do you think of this? Machriz and love b'chol yoyim. Mamish broke everything, changed everything. On her madrig, at her time, in her life, she was a ravach, a gar b'krach, ve'enochaita. She thought she was a sinner, just like you and I look at ourselves. That we're completely, completely unworthy of ever coming to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what it says in the Megillah? That when the Hamelech, when the king saw, it means Hashem, Achashverosh, saw Esther standing in the chotzer, because she was embarrassed to come in. She wasn't invited. She went through the 30-day extension. She wasn't invited. Nosa chein be'enav. Oy, she had such chein in his eyes, in the king's eyes, that's Hashem. Nosa chein be'enav. Ve'yoshet ha-melech le'Esther shavet ha-zohav asher b'yodo. And he reached out the shavet ha-zohav, the golden scepter. That's the beginning with what that is in this form, the golden scepter. I don't have time for that. Ve'yomel ha-melech malach esta malka u'ma bakashose. Malach esta malka. And the king said, anything you ask of me, anything you ask of me, I'll do for you. Ad chatzi amalchus, that's the beginning, chatzi amalchus. Ad chatzi amalchus, Hashem says to a Jew who tries to stand in the nisayon, that even though you feel like you're a soita sometimes, you stop at that place and you say, no more, I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to go because I want to be something in my life and I want to make myself into something different. I'm not going to just let myself slip into the oblivion. You meet a guy that he just lets himself go into the oblivion. He just lets himself go. He doesn't hold back anymore. Why? Because he thinks like that girl. He thinks, look what I did already. So who's ever going to marry me? Who's going to? I'm nothing. I'm worthless. Uvechein, 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 uvechein tzaddikim. Uvechein tzaddikim yiru v'yismachu. V'yisharim yaloyizu. The different madrigas of Jews. But these are the Jews that Hashem is machvis aleichem. I think in our generation, I think you, Hashem is machvis aleichem chol yoyim, all of us, our generation, what we're trying to do. You know, there's a thing that happened. It's a crazy story. I think the Reb Shlomo Shadron told over this mason. It takes a minute. I'm sorry for keeping you longer. It takes a minute. This mason. Listen to this mason. There were 10 Jews, a million of Jews, someplace in Russia. That they were caught doing something illegal. There was some kind of a smuggling thing because they were trying to do a mitzvah, to get food over to the neighboring place where there was some plague or something. And these 10 Jews were caught by the officers over there in that shtetl. And you know, they didn't have, didn't take long with their court system over there. You know, everything was very, you know. So they were, it was already that they're guilty and they're going to have, their heads are going to be chopped off. They're going to be guillotined. They're going to be killed. 10 Jews. As it often was in those days, they were given a choice. Anybody who would agree to convert would not be killed. That was the deal. So Reb Shalom told that all the Jews of the shtetl gathered together in the shul to scream and to cry to Davin, not that they should be spared, not that they should survive. That's very fafalim. They were going to be killed. They all screamed to Davin that our boys, these 10 boys, that boys, they should be oimi bin nisayin. Listen to this. That they should not convert, that they should be strong. You hear this? They were davening that their boys should be strong. So they were davening, they said a lot of tilim and crying and davening that the boys should be strong, they should be oimi bin nisayin. And then they lit 9 candles, one for each of the boys. Now, why did they light 10 candles? They lit 9 candles because one of the guys was a kid. It wasn't even by mitzvah that was involved in helping them because he was like running fast and they used him. So they didn't light a candle for him because there was no shiloh that this poor little kid is going to go to the church. There was no shiloh. So they didn't light a candle for him. So they lit 9 candles for the 9 older guys and for this kid. No, they figured that he converted to Achmas. All of a sudden they light 9 candles. They hear crying and screaming come from the women's section. Some lady is crying. Who's the lady? She's the mother of this kid, of the little one. And she's crying, I want you to light a candle for my son too, that he shouldn't convert, that he should be strong. Even though he's a little boy, he's a Jew. I want you to light a candle for my son. So they right away, they went and they lit a candle. And they're staying there and have the candles lit, and they're standing around there and davening a little bit and holding each other. All of a sudden, they hear a horse coming, and the guy from the police, one of the guys from the police comes in with a big sack. He throws the sack into the shul where all the Jews are. In this sack are all the skulls of the boys whose heads were cut off. And they wanted to make it, they threw it into the shul to make the Jews. They knew the Jews were all there. They threw the sack with all the heads. This woman, Reb Shalom says, comes running. This is a true story. This woman comes running out of the women's section, and she opens up the sack, and everybody thought she became crazy from grief. They were all screaming and crying. These are their son's heads. And this woman comes, and she opens the big, and there's all blood, and she's pulling out each of these heads, and then she comes to the one of her son, and she grabs it, and she says, Chazdei Hashem, Chazdei Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. She says, whatever his name is, Yankala, I'm so proud of you. You were strong. I'm so proud of you. You hear this story? Not that she wouldn't, that she was hoping not to find the head of her son. She said, Yankel, you also died al Kiddush Hashem. You also stood the test. You also were strong enough, Yankel. And she was standing with the bloody head of a kid, saying, yeah, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Shloshim achrizim le'yam. If you think that we still have our heads attached, you're making a big mistake. Any one of you who thinks that your head is still attached, you're nuts. You're deluding yourself. Our heads were cut off already a long time ago. That doesn't mean that we don't have. Doesn't mean that we don't have to work hard. It means we do whatever we can. We do the best we can. But each and every one of us is invited into the king. And if you think you're not, you're wrong. We're trying to learn Torah. We're trying to keep mitzvahs. We're trying to stay away from doing bad stuff. We do our best. And if Hashem sees that we try and we say some slichus and we try to do things a little bit better and try to make some hachlotis for this coming year. Then Hashem is baruch, the same way it's nice chen be'enov, the same way the Esther Malka, when she came in, she couldn't believe that the king Mahamish fell in love. So we should be zeichel that Hashem is baruch, that our melech should not only forgive each and every one of us, but Hashem is baruch should be deeply, deeply in love. He is. And he should be more deeply in love with each and every one of us. And each one of you and myself, we should all be with all of Christ, and Nechtav, and Nechtav, and Sefer, and Tzadikim, for a good and healthy year. Yeah.
Verina Yagilo, Verina Yagilo, Verina Yagilo, Verina Yagilo, Verina Yagilo, Verina Yagilo,
Yagilo, Bach, Sidim, Berina, Berina, 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 Yagilo, Bach,